Mums Club podcast. I'm Christine Drummond, your host, and we have a very special guest with you today. She is a new friend of mine, but I absolutely love this woman's energy. I love what she stands for. You know what? She's a straight shooter. She tells it how it is, and she's got so much going on in her life. I'm not even going to get into her bio because this woman has done a lot over the course of her life. She's an incredible mum. She's an incredible human being. And I feel very grateful to have the beautiful Bronwyn Griffith on the podcast with us today. And Bron, say hi to our listeners.
Hello, everybody. How are you?
Bron, I'd love you to just tell everyone a little bit about yourself, a little bit about your background and what you've done over the course of your life, I guess.
Sure. Okay. Thanks, Christine. And hello, everybody. I feel like a bit of a fraud being here. I mean, I am a mother, but I'm an incredibly old mother. My children are about the same age as you. So I'm a 65-year-old wise woman. I'm the crone of my tribe. And that crown sits very comfortably with me now, but it didn't used to. I used to be embarrassed about being old, but I'm not anymore. I actually love it, and I love the wisdom that comes with my age. So I have three of my own children. My oldest daughter is 36, Erin, and then Hannah's 25, Brianna's 24. I have two step-children who are well into their 40s and four step-grandchildren. And I also seem to collect kids. So I have a couple of Nepalese children that I sponsor, and I've also hosted a few kids through Rotary programs. So I have a daughter that lives in Slovenia, a daughter that lives in Austria, and a daughter that lives in Canada. And I don't know how many others. People sort of, my house was a bit like a drop-in house. I used to live on a farm, but, you know, if kids had a fight with their parents or whatever, it seemed to be a bit of a safe house. So I'm a mother of three, natural mother of three, and adopted so many more. But by profession, I'm a nurse by profession and also a naturopath. I'm a master of a whole lot of things. I'm a Reiki master. I've got my master's in occupational health and safety. I'm a Sage Master, and I also do NLP. I'm an NLP practitioner and timeline therapist. But I have this other woo-woo side. I read oracle cards and tarot cards, and I do astrological natal charts, as in, you know, your birth chart. So a consultation with me is never, ever set. It's a bit someone liking me. If you come to see me professionally, it's a little bit like seeing a little old woman in a little old house. I mean, I don't live in a shack, but it's a bit like that. You need a little bit of this and a little bit of this, dear, and then I can make up your concoction. So I think there's a little bit of witch running through me as well through my practice. But yeah, that's who I am. I'm also an adventure traveller. I love travel, but the idea to me of sitting by a pool with a gin and tonic is ridiculous. I hike mountains. I've hiked Everest. I've hiked Mount Chukul in Morocco. I've trekked along the North Vietnam-Chinese border. I've cycled from Ho Chi Minh City through the Mekong Delta, through Cambodia, through the temples and up to the hill villages of Thailand, New Zealand. I guess the next one is Kilimanjaro because I haven't done it yet. But I love it. I love pushing myself, and that will probably come through as I talk with my kids. I love pushing my clients. I love pushing myself. I love to be challenged. And that's very much how, you know, my theory is, you know, once I stop challenging myself, once I stop asking questions, I might as well be dead because I will be. Yeah.
Far out. I hope the listeners can understand why I didn't read out her bio. That's a lot. Like, honestly, honey, I'm living through you right now. I can just imagine all those experiences that you've just taken us on. And I think it's so important. Like, I had Chris Vidal on our podcast last week, and she's in her 60s as well. And she said, I'm not slowing down. This is time for me to kind of rev things up a bit. Like, I'm just getting started. She's just released a book as well. And listening to your story as well, Bron, like, I just love that you're taking opportunities by the balls. Like, you really are. Like, opportunities are popping up, and you are so across the board with so many different things. And I think that's what makes you really unique. But I love that you just own who you are. You know, and you don't apologize for it. You're very upfront with people. You're honest, and you're right. People come to you and you're like, you need this, 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 and this, you know, and I love that you're not doing things by the book. You know, you don't have your blinkers on and there's one way that fits everybody. And that's what I love about you. So thank you for sharing that. The listeners are absolutely going to adore listening to this. My next question is that I love to ask people is, what's something you've got wrong as a mum? Can you take me back to a time like, and you're probably thinking like me, like, oh, where do I start? Is there one that really stands out for you?
I left my children at creche once. I was working as a director of nursing in a hospital, had a really busy day, you know, heading into accreditation or something, had 8 gazillion things on my mind, and I'm driving home. I used to live about half an hour away in the country. I lived on a farm. Driving home, and I thought, geez, the car's quiet. Oh, shit, I've left the kids at creche. So, that's my funny thing. And I also very sadly remember being really angry with Hannah when she was little and just dumping her on her feet. And I remember her limping towards me with this obvious pain. I thought, oh, God, I've killed her. But seriously, they're the funny ones. The worst thing I did for my children was modelling, always being on a diet. I've always eaten healthy. I used to be a lot bigger than I am, but I always yo-yo diet. And I wouldn't say I dumped that onto my children. They're all girls. I wouldn't say I dumped them on it, but clearly I modelled something which I don't think is very good. As a consequence, Erin, my oldest daughter, has been bulimic, and certainly Hannah's got pretty skinny at times. She was also a very, very high-level ballerina, so she had that influence as well. I noticed myself the other day with a little boy over the road who's quite a chubby little, probably 6 or 7 year old. And mum said, you know, time to come in now and play with your little brother. And he said, no, I'm riding my bike. I don't want to be fat anymore. And I said to mum, can I speak to your son? And she said, yeah. And I said, Freddie, whatever his name is, one of my girls used to say that and she got very, very sick. I said, why don't you just ride your bike to be a healthy little boy? Don't worry about anything else. Just ride the bike to be a healthy little boy and then that's what you will be. And I thought, why didn't I say that to my children? Really? So that's my biggest lesson or my biggest mistake. Just banging on about diets and shit rather than just healthy food, healthy exercise and, you know, healthy lifestyle. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. And I'm getting goosebumps listening to you talk about that because this is such a crucial topic. And even when I was growing up, I saw the implications that had on some of my friends as well, because the mothers were all about the way that they looked, the diets and everything like that as well. And it's an important topic and it's one that I don't think is spoken about enough. So I love that you've gone there. I mean, you've given us 3 amazing things that you've got wrong. I've definitely forgotten about my kids. I think so many mums can relate to that. I think we've all got to that rage, that anger, that frustration where we've, you know, hurt our kids in one way or the other, whether it's a smack or whether we've just put them down harder than we thought. I've definitely been there, so I can resonate with that. But something that I've learned, you know, being a personal trainer and seeing firsthand the mother, what they think about themselves and, you know, the way that they take care of themselves from a nutritional and a fitness perspective and mindset and self-love and everything.
Yeah.
The kids are picking up on that all the time. And as a PT, I saw it firsthand. So it's definitely helped me in being a mother to my daughter. You know, she gets around in little bike shorts and tank tops. She's only 7 and I don't care. Like, I don't want this kid to ever have an issue with her body image. I don't ever want her to feel like she has to go on a diet. You know what I mean? So I think you've really brought up an incredible topic here. And when we get you on the Friday night call, I hope that there's other mums that jump on that, you know, can sort of share their experience around this really important topic as well.
Yeah. It broke my heart when I heard my daughter vomiting, you know, I thought, God, you know, and I thought, that's all me. And my husband used to say, you're on another freaking diet, you know, in front of the kids. And, you know, it was just, like I said, even though I've always eaten really healthy food, just too much of it clearly, but yeah, I was just sending the wrong message, just the wrong message. So luckily I've learned from my little boy over the road.
Great advice that you gave him as well. I love that. Thank you for sharing that, Bron. That's so important. What do you love most about being a mum then? Because we've had chats in the past where, you know, you weren't around a lot for your daughters growing up. You were a career woman and that's okay. Yeah. Like, there's definitely no judgment. So many of us are chasing our careers. But I'd love to know, like, what did you actually love or what do you love most about being a mum?
I love watching my children develop. And it probably, you know, to sit at 60 and seeing my children now being really strong women, it's easier for me to talk about that timeline or whatever. But I'm not really good with little babies. I love it when they start to walk and start to think and start to talk. And I just love watching that whole creative development. I love it. I've still got, I looked for it before, every single card my kids have made me. And I'm not a hoarder of anything, but that box travels with me everywhere, along with my burlesque balls. It's everywhere. You know, that box of the cards that those kids gave me are probably my most precious things, you know, on the earth, you know, with a picture of my mum and my brother, things like, but, you know, it's just those personal things. And no, seriously, there's no diamonds or fancy houses or cards that can ever compare cars to those things that my kids have made me. I love it. I love the essence of my kids. And by hell, they've challenged me the same as I've challenged them. We've gone, I seriously have had really shit problems with all three of them along the way. Hideous things that you'd never want to happen to anybody. But just to watch them even work their way through that, I thought, yeah, you've done good, Bron. You've done good. They've done it. You've done it. Even though you're flogging yourself about things you did wrong, to watch the way they progress through things, actually, they're all right, three of them. They're all right. They're on track. So it's their development and watching their development that I love. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And we've spoken about this in the podcast before, that you can't screw up your kids. You know, they're so resourceful. What they're not getting from you, they're going to go and get from someone else, you know.
Yeah.
But what we see out there is a lot of mums do carry a lot of guilt. They blame themselves. They beat themselves up about decisions that they made, or, you know, just experiences and things that they're having with their kids or not having with their kids. So, you know what? There's no manual. There's no perfect way. There's not one way to parent a child. You know what I mean? Like, it's so...
I'm just going to say, that's one of my famous sayings, is there's no perfect, just perfect timing.
Yeah.
So it's very Steiner Montessori, but, you know, grab it at the moment. Yeah. There's nothing perfect, but there's a perfect time to do something. It comes into your life or happens for a reason. That's when you do the work on it.
Absolutely. Yeah. One of my good friends, Kate Sutherland, she captured this moment the other night of her husband and the son just going in for a little bit of a kiss and a snuggle before as he was coming in to kiss his son goodnight. And she caught it on camera, and it was one of the most beautiful moments I've ever seen. And these moments are there every single day, but we always just skim over them. We never take that time to be really present in those moments and really appreciate what we've got. You know, happy, healthy kids most of the time, you know.
Yeah.
And you're right. You're now looking back going, you know what, my girls have turned out okay. Yeah, we've had our moments. Yes, they've had their challenges and their struggles. But pat on the back, Bron, you've done a good job. You know, they're good kids. And that's what I love. You can come out the other side and go, you know what, at the end of the day, they're doing well.
Yeah, yeah. And there's been times, clearly they haven't been. I've had to, especially my oldest daughter, she battled alcohol and drugs through her late 20s. And I had to say to her, Erin, I love you, but I don't like you right now. I don't like your behaviour. I don't like what you're doing. I'm not going to sit here and support something which is not healthy. And I can't support it. It's self-destructive. So I can give you a few names or you can work it out yourself, but let's do something about it. You know, so sometimes you've got to come in with the tough love and go, whack, this isn't right. You know, this is far too far over the line and I'm not accepting this, girlfriend. And let's go and do something about it. Yeah.
And I love that. And your intention is always good. And that's showing her so much love in that moment. But you get in life what you tolerate, and you're not tolerating that kind of behavior. You're not tolerating someone like that in your house. And I love that. And so many listeners are going to be able to resonate with the drug and alcohol thing. I've spoken to so many mums over the years that have gone through exactly the same thing. But if you can help your kids come out the other side of that experience and become wiser and, you know, a better human being because of it, they're going to be fine. They're going to be fine later on. I'd love to know, what's the greatest piece of advice or the greatest lesson that someone's given you that's helped you in motherhood?
Yeah, this is a bit back to front, actually. My marriage was dysfunctional and so was my parents. And I learned very quickly how to manipulate that. Dad would be really saying something and Mum had come, you know, Dad had sent me to bed without any tea, for example. Mum would sneak it in later. So what did I learn from that? Nothing really, just that I could probably manipulate Mum. So, and that's what I tried, I hate that word, but I tried to be a really functional co-parenting, I call it, in my marriage. But my husband was a narcissistic bastard and he wouldn't do it. But I think if you're going, I'm very much into clear boundaries And if you are going to set boundaries, well, then, you know, discuss it between your partner. This is theoretical to me. I'd love to know that I know it works for some people, but the way I see it working perfectly is discuss it with your partner, then discuss it with your kids. And there's the barrier set down. So, for example, let's say you've got a seven-year-old and you say, okay, we're going to change your bedtime now to 7:30, let's say. So mum and dad discuss it first, talk to the kid, but then that's it. There's no playing around. There's no mucking around. That's where it is. And you're clear on that. So you're presenting a united front to your children. And I actually think that gives them safety and security when they know where the boundaries are, where they know where the barrier is, if you like, or the line in the sand or whatever you want to call it. Then obviously they also learn that once they get to be 8 or 9 or 10 or 15, that 7:30 bedtime doesn't really work. Then you renegotiate it. So there's a clear boundary, but it can always change, but it's changed through a process. And that's the way I run a business. That's the way I used to run a hospital, for example. And that's the way I would have liked to have run my family. But I guess that's the main thing I learned from a dysfunctional my parents and a relatively dysfunctional myself and my husband, that there must be a better way to do it. I always had boundaries, but I didn't really have the support from him. So some things that I felt, you know, very, very strongly about were not always very well supported. And that used to make me feel shit. Yeah. So I think that what I call functional co-parenting, be very clear. You're their parent. You're not their friend. You're their parent. And sometimes, like I've talked about before with Erin, sometimes you've got to pull the tough love in stuff. But if you do it in a united way, well, then I think your children will actually feel the love and support of both of their parents being there for them. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. I love that. I think that's incredible advice. And, you know, we call it radical communication in our house. Like, you've got to have those open communication channels where everybody's clear. We have a family contract in place as well, you know. I work from home. I've got my own business. And my partner's away quite a lot. So we have a family contract. Everyone knows the family contract. And, you know, once a week, someone else has to do the cooking. That's one of the things in our family contract. So it's simple things like that. Bedtime, you know, reading 2 books a night, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I love that you've got those clear boundaries. All right. Well, have you had any embarrassing moments as a mum where either you've been embarrassed or your kids have been embarrassed?
I don't get embarrassed very easily, but imagine my daughter at the age of 11 having to announce to grade 6 that mum's pregnant. Clearly that means mum and dad are doing it. That was so embarrassing for her. She just did not come to terms with this pregnancy for about 7 months. It was so embarrassing for her just when her sexuality was developing and then mum comes into primary school or whatever it was with his belly. And mum being nearly 40 by that stage as well, you know, that was totally embarrassing for her. But one other thing I remember, I used to, my kids were both, or the two younger two were dancers, and we used to do, as part of their concert at the end of the year, the adults used to do something, and I played Columbia in Rocky Horror, if you remember her, with the glittery sort of waltz and the tap dance routine in the middle of it, you know, and the kids were cool with it until my husband said, God, your mother looked ridiculous. And then all of a sudden, you know, that little bit of I'm really proud of mum started to swing, and it actually made me angry. But luckily, I can't remember how they were, mid-teenagers. They just went, nah, Dad, don't be ridiculous. She's just up there hoofing around having a good time. But, yeah, I wasn't embarrassed until he said that.
Yep.
And then I thought, you know, then you think that devil in your head goes, you know, I thought I was okay. Did I? What did I do? You know, all that sort of stuff. And you can see it in them too, thinking, oh, we thought mum was pretty cool. Maybe she wasn't.
Oh,
so that sort of thing. So, yeah. So there's probably a million. I can't think of them. I'm sure I've embarrassed my children a gazillion times over the years. Yeah, but one thing that was a compliment, often when living on farms, you have to do these massive pickups after parties and things like that, just the distance. And I used to often do it because I used to learn everything about every child driving home. I'd just be driving this thing. I knew everything was going on with every kid in the neighbourhood. But I used to find it an absolute compliment. My kids would be almost embarrassed when I'd come up to pick them up. But nearly every kid always said, you know, da-da-da, and they'd all have a chat to me, and I'd sort of work my way around the barbecue for an hour and then we'd go home. I don't know if it was embarrassment or not, but I think they're actually quite proud. That's the other side. It's not really so – when I first turned up, they might have been, but usually by the fact that their friends accepted me just as this person, I guess –
yeah.
It was actually more of a pride than embarrassment in the end.
Yeah. Oh, I love that though. And my mum was the same. She was a bit like you, Bron. She's that crazy, very positive. Like, she's out there. She loves all the dress-ups and everything. And all my friends thought it was the coolest thing. She was, like, the coolest mum, but I was just so embarrassed by her behaviour. But now, guess who's turned out exactly like her? Who's the
fucking one thing I noticed, we had so many parties when the kids were in year 11 and 12, and I reckon I probably had the strictest boundaries of any family around, partly because we were on a farm, so kids could go down the river and drown, technically. We had a pool. You know, there's a lot of things on a farm which can be quite dangerous, but I had really firm boundaries. You're not bringing alcohol unless your parents have admitted. In fact, your parents are welcome to come to the party as well. I always fed the kids when everyone else would say they won't eat. Well, believe me, they eat me out of house and home. I had a set finishing point. If you were leaving, you had to be gone by, say, 1 o'clock. If you were staying, you had to all be in bed by 2, that sort of stuff. And the buses kept coming back. I thought, oh, surely if I put these boundaries up so high, they won't come. They'll go somewhere else. No, they kept coming back.
Oh, that's awesome. I would have loved it. Awesome. So moving on then, what do you have a philosophy, or do you have like any values or morals that you have around parenting, or any traditions in your household that you have with your girls?
I do. And I think I said it before. Number one, I'm their parent, not their friend. I've certainly been a friend to them. I've certainly been a friend to their friends. But when the chips are down, my role here is to be their parent. I don't believe that, I do call them my children, but I don't believe they're my possession. They are just almost like a piece of clay that I can mold a little bit, and then they develop into themselves. But bottom line, I'm their parent. And when the chips are down, when I have to do the tough love, I'll have to do it. By the same token, if something goes really badly wrong, I will fly to the other side of the planet for them. And I've had to do that with one of my kids. But, you know, the tough love comes with the absolute love. There's nothing that they may be uncertain with a whole lot of things in their life, but they've never had to question their mother's love, because it's always been there and her support has always been there. But it might come with a bit of a punch when it's coming through. So that also revolves into authenticity, being absolutely authentic. And I don't know how you mums cope now. The pressures that I see on all of you are enormous, enormous, so much bigger than any pressure I had on me as a mother, I think. I seriously don't know how you all manage. I don't know how you get through the medical system to even deliver the baby, let alone anything else. It just to me seems so abhorrent. And then the pressures on, I still have, you know, I have friends of all age groups, so I still have friends that are having kids, and they've got to have this and they've got to have this. And I'm going, no, you don't. You can have a baby and they can grow up in a, you know, you can put them into a drawer if you have to. You don't have to have all this stuff. But just be authentic. If it doesn't feel right, well, then it probably isn't right, so don't do it. So authenticity and barriers, and just be their parent. They're my main things, and be very clear on your barriers, because I think, like I was talking about with the parties before, when kids know where the boundaries are, they actually feel very safe to move around that. And then you need renegotiate the boundaries as they get older. But you need to have clear boundaries, and I think they feel very safe and secure.
Yeah, there's a lot of research around that, actually, that kids do need that discipline and those boundaries to feel safe and secure. So I love that you put that up. That's right, we can't really hear it.
Oh, that's good. Crashing.
So knowing everything that you know now, what would you tell your younger self if you were to go back and, you know, see yourself as a brand new mum, all the wisdom and everything you've collected over the years, like, what would you go back and tell that younger Bron?
Really, to your own self, be true. And I didn't battle as much as some of you girls do now. I was fairly confident with what I was doing. Probably helped being a nurse and a naturopath. Like, I was fairly wired with anything medical that might be wrong with them. But yeah, if there's a belief that you have, whether you feel like there's something wrong with your child, push the system until you find out what it is. Whether you think there's some piece of advice someone has given you doesn't work for you, well, don't do it, you know. Whatever. So just to your own self, be true. That would be my main thing, because like I've alluded to, you know, my marriage was difficult and I also worked full-time away from home, and that was difficult. If I had the resources then, I would have been a lot more present for my kids rather than worrying all the time about some accreditation process at work or, you know, staying quiet so my husband didn't get angry or whatever, I would have probably been a lot more present for my children and perhaps a lot stronger. I may have even packed my bags earlier and walked out. But yeah, just to be really centered in yourself. You know the answers, they're there.
Yeah.
Just believe them when they come through.
Yeah, I love that. It's so important. Awesome. Well, moving on then, what's one thing you've nailed as a mum? Like, what's one thing that you're just like, yeah, Bron, you've nailed that?
Oh, lordy. I think I've nailed respect. I really do think I've nailed respect. It's something that I battled with as a teenager because I was always told I had to respect and I don't like that idea. But I think I've nailed respect by nailing authenticity. And if you're really an authentic mother, mother to your children or mother with your children's friends around, I think if you show respect for them and where they're up to and where they're at and you're quite authentic with the way you deal with them, I think they'll be quite respectful of you. And I've always found that. I've never had any trouble. I've never had kids trashing the house or anything like that, because I've always shown them respect. They've never been disrespectful to me personally at all, ever. So I think it's respect. I think I've nailed respect. And it's not something that is, it's not a title. It's something that you earn, but you earn it by being authentic and showing respect to other people.
Yeah, and I love it. And the first person like you show your respect to is yourself. And people see,
yeah, absolutely.
See the way that you treat yourself, and then they'll, yep, treat you the way that you allow them to treat you, you know, like, and you're like me, like, we just don't tolerate people treating us the wrong way or the negativity or anything like that. We're not going to put up with it. We don't want that drama and that stuff in our life. So, you know what I mean? So, self-respect is where it is at, and I totally agree with you. I can tell that you've absolutely nailed that.
Yeah.
So, last question then, Bronnie, what's three tips or three mum hacks you've got for other mums out there that are listening? Give us your best tips.
Best tips. Number one, do what's right for you. What I call the fuck off principle, excuse me, but just do what's right for you. I've alluded to it a few times before. If it doesn't feel right, even if the doctor's telling you it, if it doesn't feel right, sit with it and do what's right for you. Clearly, I'm not talking about anything illegal, but, you know, just if it's something feels the correct way or if it feels wrong, do what's right for you, right for your family. And I don't care what everybody else is doing, wearing, eating, seeing, whatever. If that's not right for you and where you sit with your value system, don't do it. Do what's right for you. Number two, will this matter in 1 year or 5 years? Really? Will it? I remember getting into a stink of a fight with Erin when she wanted Doc Martin shoes and I just seriously didn't have the money. Now, she still brings it up, so maybe it was important. She still brings it up that I never got her the Doc Martin. But really, one of those philosophy, you know, don't sweat the small stuff, all of that sort of stuff. Really, will this really matter in a year's time? Will it really matter in 5 years' time or in 6 years' time? And the last thing that I taught my kids is just ask. Don't try, just ask. My oldest daughter, Erin, wanted to run with the Olympic torch when Australia, you know, had the games in the year 2000. And I said, ask, put the application in. Hannah wanted to dance with the National Ballet, National Theatre in Melbourne, ballet. Just ask. Brianna wanted to go on a gap year when she finished school. Just ask. All of those three girls got exactly what they wanted. Because my philosophy is, if you ask and someone says no, you're still where you are right now. But if you ask and they say yes, you've got it. Reach for the stars, you know, reach for the moon. At least you're going to catch a few stars on the way down. So just, that's my main hack, is just ask. Don't try. I don't believe in try. Ask. Do something positive. Find out what you have to. Do the research if you need to, but ask. If they say no, you know better or know worse. But if they say yes, there you go. Off you go. On your way. So I've had an Olympic torch runner, I've had a ballerina with the National Theatre, and I had a daughter that really banged 2 years in London and loved it. Never said all else.
I love that. And when you ask, people know your intentions. They know what you want. It's clear.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Don't ask. They've got no idea that you even want to do that thing. And I've asked, I've done a lot of things this year, and one of them is asking more, getting more resourceful. And it's amazing the opportunities that have opened up to me simply by asking the question.
Yeah, well, when you asked me to do this, I was stoked. I'd watched you doing something. I think, geez, I'd love to do that. And then, bang, want to do this? Yes.
Yeah. I just want to go back to your second one though, and I'm reading a book at the moment called The 5 Second Rule, and so many women in particular, so many mums, are paralyzed by fear, are paralyzed by worry. They're paralyzed by, you know, they have these beautiful moments, but then they start thinking about all the worst things that are going to happen, and it takes away that special moment and puts a damper on it, I guess. So I love that you touched on that. You know, just stop sweating the small stuff, just be in the moment, you know, and it's just, we just get so caught up with everything. We're competing all the time and we're trying to keep up with the Joneses, and we're, you know, like people want the Doc Martens, but you got to learn to say no, like it's okay. And I think just those three tips that you gave up at the end there are going to resonate with so many people. I was even just like, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to listen back to this and to get those tips again. But Bron, it has been so refreshing chatting with you today. I love your authenticity, you know, and you've definitely nailed that. You're just a breath of fresh air. Like when everyone's being bullshitted to out there, when there's so much crap going on and being flung at us every day, you are a breath of fresh air coming through and just being so true to who you are as a woman, as a human being. And I love what you said about your daughters. You know, we don't own our kids. We don't. We are absolutely there to just guide them and mold them as best we can, give them as many good morals and values as we can. And then the rest of it's up to them. They're going to be their own people. They're going to make their own decisions, their own mistakes. And we're just going to be there to support them and love them as much as we can. So touched on so many amazing things as a mum. Is there anything else you want to say before we close off?
Not really. Just stay true to yourself, really. And seriously, I admire everything that you are all going through, because it's so much harder. You've got so many more pressures on you, but just bring it. Just, you know, the five doctors: eat well, sleep well, play well, drink a lot of water, and I've forgotten, give to your mother maybe. I can't remember what the fifth one was. But, you know, they don't need the most fancy this or the smartest that or the newest iPhone or a watch or anything like that. They know you and your love and support, good food, good nutrition, plenty of sleep, lots of stimulation to their brain. You're wired. You have done it. You've creamed it if you get all that done.
Yeah. I love it.
It's just superficial money-making crap.
Oh, I forgot to say too, where can people find you? Like if they want to connect with you, if they want to do some coaching or whatever you've got going on, where can they find you, Annie?
Facebook and Instagram is just my name, at Bronwyn Griffith. And then from that, you'll see a page called Wise Women's Healing, which is the name of my coaching business. And I also have a sub thing under that called the 5-Day Alchemy Project, when I just throw 5-day projects at people. And we're halfway through actually a 30-day one at the moment. I'm just a bit more exercise, a bit more intellectual reading, a little bit like 95 Hard or whatever that some of you girls
75 Hard, love it.
Whatever it is. So, yeah, my name's Bronwyn Griffith. If you find that, you'll be able to follow down the rest of my pages. Awesome. I haven't got anything fancy like a landing page or a click funnel, so you just have to ring me up.
Oh, no, that's all good. Awesome. Yeah. Well, thank you so much. I'm so grateful, honey, that you were able to join us today.
That was great. I loved it. I loved it. Can't wait to see you on the weekend.
Yes. All right. I'll see you on the weekend. And thanks for listening, everybody. And leave some comments, leave a review. If you've loved this, please share it. Share it with your mums as well. And let's start creating a bigger tribe for the Fearless Mums Club. Thank you, Bron.
Okay. Thanks so much. And thank you to all of you for listening. Namaste.